Translation. Vidura said, "My dear Brahmana Maitreya, it is very enlightening to understand that King Prithu was enthroned by the great sages and Brahmanas. All the demigods presented him with innumerable gifts, and he also expanded his influence upon personally receiving strength from Lord Vishnu. Thus he greatly developed the earth." Purport. Because Maharaj Prithu was an empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu and was naturally a great Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, all the demigods were pleased with him and presented different gifts to help him in exercising his royal power. And the great sages and saintly persons also joined in his coronation. Thus blessed by them, he ruled over the earth and exploited its resources for the greatest satisfaction of the people in general. This has already been explained in the previous chapters regarding the activities of King Prithu. As will be apparent from the next verse, every executive head of state should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Prithu in ruling over his kingdom. Regardless of whether the chief executive is a king or president, whether the government is monarchical or democratic, this process is so perfect that if it is followed, everyone will become happy, and thus it will be very easy for all to execute devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvashesha Sanyavani Paschitade Sitarane. Maharaj Prithu is described here as Vaishnavam Teja, that he got strength from Lord Vishnu. So this is, we sometimes say, empowered. He was a Shaktivish avatar. So this Shaktivish avatar means a jiva, soul, infinitesimal spirit soul, who is empowered by Krishna with some particular opulence, like Narada Muni was given power of devotion. The Kumaras, they were empowered with transcendental knowledge. Maharaj Prithu was an empowered king, administrator. They did not have ordinary powers. They were empowered. So, of course, we are all interested in this. We want to also get some teja, some strength. We want to know what is the strength of the Vaishnava. The strength of the Vaishnava is Vishnu, is coming through him. So how to do that? Of course, you cannot just try to become an incarnation. You cannot become Vishnu and have Vishnu's strength in that way. And also it is not possible that we can just become a great empowered Shaktivish avatar. And when we read of the great devotees and how they are empowered, to have Vaishnavam Tejo sometimes seems something very miraculous and magical. How the power of the Lord comes to a person like Arjuna. He had so much power, he was acting like God. Otherwise, on the battlefield, there were opposing generals who were more powerful than Arjuna. Like Bhishma, certainly. And even Karna. And so not just one or two, but many, many, many. And yet, Arjuna, he defeated them all, because he had the power of Krishna. So he was very intelligent. When it was time to divide up either Krishna or his armies, Krishna agreed that I will be on one side and my armies can be on the other side. But the side that I go on, I won't fight either. But I'll go on that side. So Duryodhana chose the armies, thinking that was the strength. And Arjuna thought, strength or not, I want to be with Krishna. He chose Krishna personally. And he had the intelligent decision militarily also, because then he was empowered by Krishna and he could defeat all the armies, just himself. But then later, when the mission of Krishna through Arjuna was completed, after Krishna's disappearance from the earth, then Arjuna did not have that teja anymore. Because it was given to him by Krishna to execute the special functions. Therefore Arjuna had power. And at that time then he was lamenting, "I used to be so powerful. I fought with Lord Shiva and subdued him. Lord Shiva appeared before me disguised as a hunter, and I satisfied him by fighting. And I was able to go to the heavenly planets. I was honored an elevated seat. But now I have become lost of my power. I could not even protect myself from some cowherdsman who stole Krishna's wives from Arjuna. So it seems like a magical thing, how the power of the Lord is there, and then the power of the Lord is withheld. How does one qualify? The demigods are highly empowered, living entities. They are also jivas. Brahma is a jiva, but the jiva he is. We also, it is possible that we can become Brahma. He has 78% in small part of the qualities of Krishna. That's the most a jiva can have. He has them. He's so empowered, he acts like God, Bhagavan. Brahma. Brahma is even called, in the Brahma Samhita, he's compared to a stone, a jewel, which reflects the light and the color of light, of another light. It's like a crystal. It has no color, transparent. And you put a red light or a blue light, then the crystal becomes that color. Oh, and it's very beautiful. So, Brahma, he's very beautiful, very powerful, but his color, his effulgence, is from another source. That's Krishna. But he's empowered. Demigod. And Indra, very, very powerful. And Indra fought the Vritasara demon, who was so big that he would crush the soldiers of the demigods just by stomping on them. And he was as big as the bigger than the mountains and the trees. And Indra was small by comparison. Even Indra's elephant, you see, our artists have made a picture. And Indra's club is so tiny, and the elephant is so tiny, that Vritasara, he just smacked him. He broke the elephant's neck, I think, and knocked him back. He was so big. But Indra could defeat him because he had a special weapon which was given by Vishnu. He was protected by the mantras of Narayan, Narayana Kavacha mantras. He was protected by those mantras. And then, in order to fight this demon, the other sages, they went to, on the advice of Lord Vishnu, they went to a personality named Dadhichi. And he was very powerful ascetic. He also had tejas by austerities. And so they said, Vishnu has informed us that if you give up your body, we can take the bones of your body and we can make a weapon, or a thunderbolt weapon, to give to Lord Indra. He will fight with his demon. So Dadhichi said, alright, I'll give it to you. And so he gave up his body on the request of the demigods, and Indra, with this Vishnu weapon, he fought. So this, and he defeated the demon. So this is a very esoteric science, how to get the power of the Lord. In this case, you go to some exalted ascetic and you get his bones and you do something or other, and then you get the weapon, and this weapon is empowered by Vishnu. So we are not big personalities like that, but we also need strength. We need this Vaishnava Teja to do our devotional service. Just to control our senses, we need some strength of Krishna. And if we want to do some spreading of Krishna consciousness in this world, we have to have strength. So this strength of a devotee is Vaishnavam Teja. It has to come from Krishna. So it is mostly a matter of becoming dear to Krishna and to Krishna's devotee. And then it manifests. Another way of looking at it is that actually any strength that you see in the world is also Vishnu. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he instructs Arjuna that whatever you see in this world that has any quality, that is coming from me. I am the strength of the strong. And if you see any extraordinary quality, a strong man, a beautiful woman, a learned scholar, or even a big mountain, but especially take the human beings, a genius, musical genius, a mathematical genius, that is called vibhuti. That is a display of some of the intelligence or power or beauty of Krishna. If there's any value of beauty in this world or strength in this world, it's coming from Krishna. So in that sense, everything is the strength of Krishna. But particularly in devotional service, we're interested in the spiritual strength. So spiritual strength is gained by becoming dear to Krishna. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Rahasyam hetam uttamam. Krishna says to Arjuna that you are my friend and my devotee. Therefore, I'll give you the ability to understand Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we can get the strength of Vishnu, that is the devotee's strength, because he wants to serve Krishna. If you want to get some yogic siddhi, some power for yourself, that will not be exactly Vishnu. He will give you some strength, but like this Duryodhana, he wanted some armies, but the devotee wanted Krishna, and he didn't want to enjoy Krishna. He wanted to serve Krishna, be with Krishna. So the yogis and others, they want to get the shakti, they want to get the power, so that they can influence others for their own plans, or even for their own liberation. That is called worship of the power, shakti. But the Vaishnava, he worships the powerful. He serves the powerful. And he's not therefore interested in getting strength from the Lord. Therefore, the devotee's strength is Krishna. He depends on Krishna. He doesn't want to even make himself strong. One time, when I was first understanding Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was talking about the devas, the demigods, and the devotees. I was trying to understand, the devotees, they're devotees, and the demigods, they're devotees. What's the difference when you use the word deva? Sometimes it seems like the word deva is used for devotee, or is it demigod? So I went to Prabhupada, I said, the way I understand it, I don't know if this is correct, is that both the devas, or the demigods, and the bhaktas, the devotees, or Vaishnavas, they're both devotees, but the only difference is, if you try to distinguish them, is that the demigods, they have these great powers. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, someday I will tell you about the powers of the Vaishnava. So that's all he said. He didn't tell me. So then I could understand, though, that indirectly there must be very great powers of the Vaishnava that are not so apparent as the powers of Indra or Brahma. But the powers are there. And then later I learned about great devotees like Ambarish, who did not apparently possess the power of a yogi like Durvasa Muni. He was a king, Ambarish. He didn't have any power. But when he was challenged, then Krishna acted through him, and he had so much power. So Srila Prabhupada worked in that way also. He did things very wonderful that no one even could imagine. Spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, converting the mlechas, forming a world organization of Krishna consciousness, making them Brahmins, saving the age of becoming completely barbaric, introducing Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan, distributing so many books, religious books. No one would have thought possible to distribute so many books of this subject matter. How is that possible? That was Krishna. Krishna Shakti. Vinanaha Tara Pravartana. The Shakti of Krishna is working. That was, of course, stated by Balabha to Lord Chaitanya, that you are spreading Hare Krishna all over the world, therefore you are empowered. You are Krishna Shakti. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vinana Tara Pavartana. And Prabhupada has told us how to get this power. To be humble, he said. Then Krishna will grant you such great power. He said, actually, the Krishna conscious movement could take over the whole world. But if we were humble, then Krishna would empower us. Humble means that we want to serve Krishna very sincerely, and we show it with our words and our actions and our thoughts. Then Krishna will give us strength. He wants to. When he sees a pure devotee who wants to serve, then he gives him the power. We have to show that we won't misuse the power. The example is given of, like in the electric power, you have the different fuses, and so they have different voltage. So the thing you plug it in, that has a certain, it requires a certain size fuse. Say it is 20 volt, and if you put in a 10 volt, then what will happen? Poof, it'll blow when you turn on the electricity. Because that fuse is too small, it doesn't have the power to take all the electricity charge that's going through it. So you have to get a bigger fuse, and then when the electricity goes into that big fuse, it can take it. So Krishna, he'll give us so much power, provided that we have the capacity to hold it. He doesn't want to hold back. He doesn't want weak devotees. Does Krishna want his devotees to be known as spiritual weaklings? Can I control their senses to show the world what is a devotee of Krishna? No, he wants the best. But they have to qualify, then he gives them the best. He won't give unless they qualify. So, to be a big fuse in Krishna consciousness, to get Vaishnavam Teja, means to be pure, to be humble, to want to serve Krishna and to want to serve Krishna's devotees. Then you'll be given these strengths. Because Krishna wants sincere servitors to do his mission. What is this strength? It's not like the strength of Napoleon or Hitler or a powerful man materially, a conqueror. It is not exactly like that. It is not the strength of the politician or the powerful athlete. It is the strength to control the senses. It is the strength to avoid Maya. It's called Goswami. We're all supposed to be such controllers of the senses and the mind, the followers of Lord Chaitanya. That is strength. That when the mind says, I want to do this illicit activity, then you say, your intelligence, spirit, soul, in control of that lower self, says, no, I won't do that, I want to do this. That is the strength from Krishna. So we get our strength by chanting the holy name. We get our strength by following the Krishna conscious prescribed austerities, not other austerities. Don't think you'll get strength by doing your own fasting or your own concoction. But you get strength by the prescribed, following the prescribed methods. And it will manifest. But not if we try to become strong for our own ends. What is the... how long does the class go? Until the DD opens? No? But the next program is DD greeting? And there's no schedule? Oh, like Kitanagari, we do that. Yes. Are there any questions about this Vaishnavam Tejo? Yes.
So I wasn't so clear on the point of Shakta Vaishavata. That is it possible that someone who has been conditioned can achieve the perfection of being Shakta Vaishavata? Is that a Vichasila who has come to?
At least we know it's a plan of the Lord. So the Lord, He sends someone here. So my understanding is that is it's a liberated soul. He may appear a different way in this world, but then when it is time, then he manifests all the opulences for which he was sent to manifest. But then whoever follows the Shakta Vishavatar, then he can also, the servant of the Shakta Vishavatar can also display the qualities, like the servant of Lord Nityananda can display these qualities of Lord Nityananda, the power of Lord Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya went on his tour of southern India, he was not only Shakti Vishavatar, he was original Krishna. So when he chanted Hare Krishna, everyone, by contacting him, they got strength to chant the holy name. But then when they went to their villages, they were so filled with the strength of contacting Lord Chaitanya that they were like that. They had become like touchstones. And whoever they met, they became affected. So it's parampara means it can be passed on. So then those people, they went to their village, and this way the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement spread by the genuine incarnation and his teachings. So that can go on and on. That connection is, we're speaking of electrical connection, that connection is available to anyone who connects himself to the parampara. And he can get the strength. And it's not limited. You may say, well, the Nitya Siddha, he gets the strength, but we cannot get the strength. But anyone, he could be a man or a woman, born in this or that part of the world, anyone who sincerely takes up Krishna consciousness, he can become empowered. It's completely democratic, open. Whether he's most fallen or whatever. Not only to the avatar, but to the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the avatar. Krishna appears in his holy name in the heart of any sincere person, and then the glories of the holy name will appear in his heart and they will spread to everyone he meets. Yes?
On the same point, Prabhupada once said that there were three different kinds of spiritual master. One who was coming up through the ranks of the conditioned souls. But then at the same time, the spiritual master, he's considered to be empowered. But then again, at the same time, spiritual master is considered to be external social.
Well, he doesn't have to be an eternal associate. He can come in contact with an eternal associate, and then he can become as good as that. If the eternal associate, which he is like Chintamani stone, then who he associates with can become great Vaishnava. The fallen souls that Lord Chaitanya saved in his time, like Jagai and Madhai, they became great Vaishnavas. That prostitute Chintamani, not Chintamani, the prostitute that Lord that Haridas Thakur converted, she became a famous Vaishnavi and converted many others. But it's the same point. You can become spiritual master. That's the whole basis of our Krishna conscious movement. Sat karma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharada e vaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava svapacha guru. Even one who was born as a dog eater can become guru if he becomes Vaishnava. And he becomes Vaishnava by the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
Wouldn't that mean that one who was previously conditioned soul could also become Shakti?
Yes.
To consider Shakti or not?
That's a technical point of definition, I'm not sure. I'll say he can become as good as Shakti Rishavatar.
Well, could we say that there's a difference in Shakti
and
Avatar.
Avatar meaning
one who descends,
right,
and someone who's empowered.
Yes. Let's just get empowered one way or another, so we can. Good. Yes.
Well, the whole point, isn't it, Maharaj, of becoming Krishna consciousness? Becoming Krishna consciousness is empowered.
Yeah, that's
what. Desire.
Empowered is not to be a. Like a mysterious word of something unattainable. Although I was giving examples like how Indra got this weapon, we may think, well, I could never go through such a mysterious process and get a weapon from handed down from Vishnu. But by our simple methods of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan, we're being empowered in the same way. You must be empowered. No, the word empowered is not only something that applies to the Shakti Rishavatar. That a devotee can sell a book to somebody who doesn't really want that book, that's a kind of empowered. That we can go into the homes of cultured Indian people and they accept us as saintly persons. They accept, well, he's empowered. He knows Krishna. He knows the science of Krishna. Empowered with Krishna knowledge. So the devotees are remarkably empowered to stay on the platform of these four rules, and when they speak, other people become influenced to become Krishna conscious. Well, there are degrees, but it's also being empowered.
Madhusudan? How about judging a person who's become a guru from different backgrounds? Let's say someone who perhaps grew up in India and has never even broken the boiling principles, and someone who comes from the Western world, are they to be seen as, once they become guru, as equal? Is that the fish?
Well, the guru is not by birth, which you describe. He has a certain birth, and a birth which is advantageous for spiritual culture. So, what the basis of guru? Tadvigyanartam sugurum eva vigat chit samik. He has to be in disciplic succession and Brahmanishtam, fixed in Krishna consciousness. So whether he's born in a Brahmin family in India or born in a Svapacha, a dog eater, that's not the point. It's what is his spiritual birth and spiritual lineage. So that mantra, tantra, visharada. Even if his spiritual lineage is that he's a Brahmin and he knows the mantras and the tantras. But is he a Vaishnava? That's what we want to know. Guru means Vaishnava. So he may be Pakka Brahmin, but he has to be Vaishnava. That's the all in all. Whether he repeats the message of Krishna, then he's a guru. Not whether he knows the mantra and the tantra, or he never commits. He is the surrendered soul of the Vaishnava. No, we can say they're equal. There's no such thing as American Goswami, Indian Goswami. Prabhupada warns us in Upadeshamrita that the Indian should not look down on the American, and the American should not think, well, I'm a big American, and I'm a spiritualist, and I'm better than the Indian. There's no material designation of fallen from the position. And if you study it objectively, you can't say that one is better than the other. It just depends on whether one is surrendered to the Guru and Krishna. Yes, agree.
You were explaining there are different kinds of empowerment. Like you gave the example, someone may be empowered to distribute a book. And you were also explaining how the devotees, they worship Krishna as the powerful rather than the power. So often, because we're in a very neophyte stage, we may get some kind of power to do our service, but then we forget that's given by Krishna, and we become a little proud, and then we're in a dangerous position. So how can we avoid that?
Well, as you said, it comes from Krishna, so you have to always remember that. That it comes from Krishna. We can see within ourselves, we should acknowledge that it is coming from Krishna, and that Krishna can take it away also. We have to be Krishna conscious about the gifts that Krishna gives us, or the abilities that Krishna gives us, or the power that Krishna gives, or else he can take it away again. Therefore, whatever we get, we have to use it to serve Krishna always, and that's not for ourselves. How? Just by not deviating. The path of devotional service is clearly defined, that one should always think of himself as humble and fallen, and maintaining his spiritual life by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So by that proper understanding. And we see that the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were empowered in different ways, but they never thought of themselves as puffed up. They just thought that they were getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Or they wanted to use Rupa Goswami. Sanatana Goswami wrote such learned books, beautifully composed books in Sanskrit. And they didn't even think of themselves as big puffed up scholars who were doing Lord Chaitanya a favor to promulgate his philosophy. But they simply worshipped him and thought of themselves as most fallen. When Rupa Goswami came in Lord Chaitanya's company, and Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya said, Rupa, read some of your works. And Rupa was so ashamed. He thought he did not have anything nice to present. But when he read, they were so pleased. So that was the attitude of Rupa Goswami. That was the attitude of Haridas Thakur or Raghunath Das Goswami. They got powers, but they never thought, now I'm very powerful. We have to follow the examples of the Vaishnavas. And it's a fact. Even if you do have something, you should recognize that it was given to you by Krishna and by the spiritual master. And if you misuse it, you can fall down. Yes?
Sometimes I see that there are some discrepancies amongst older Vaishnavas between themselves, such as the problems that the Buddha had and some problems that we had within the confines of Vaishnava. And due to some reason, a devotee feels that he should leave and start his own program outside of the institution of ISKCON. Can these devotees also be empowered if they are still strictly following the religion? Printing books, making devotees?
There's the material things. Anybody can print books, and you can even make followers. Those are not the signs. If those are the signs, then Maharishi Mahesh, he's empowered. Actually, Prabhupada said he was empowered. That Krishna sent a cheater, he said, because you wanted to be cheated, so he sent a big cheater. So he's an empowered cheater. And he's printing books, and he's making followers. So those things are not very difficult to do. Although it does require some kind of power. Sometimes the demons have siddhis. And those are powers, but they're perverted. They're called duskritina. That there's something meritorious is there, but it's become misused. So if you find some discrepancies, which are there, of course, in the devotees, you find fault. You find fault with the ISKCON movement. But if you leave, then no, you won't be empowered to spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada, he was empowered, and the proof is his preaching activity. So we have to follow him. He said, "You work in this way with the GBC, with the ISKCON movement." He said, "Lord Krishna has appeared in the womb of this Krishna consciousness movement in this age." So this is the power. This is the disciplic succession. If I go outside the disciplic succession and try to form my own movement, it may stay for some time, but then it will, because it's not empowered, it will not last. And that we see. But we should not go outside the society of Krishna consciousness and try to prosecute Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Prabhupada said, "I am ISKCON." So
yeah.
You leave ISKCON, you leave the guru.
That makes sense. He said it's a hallucination. He would confront people even in his lifetime. People would say that, "I want to follow you, but I don't want to. I don't like the devotees. I don't want to follow in your movement and your representatives. But I'm faithful to you." And Prabhupada said, "But then if I tell you to follow them, then will you do it?" In this particular confrontation, the devotee said, "No." And Prabhupada said, "Just see the hypocrisy. That he says he's following Prabhupada, but Prabhupada tells him to follow the others." He said, "No. Then where is your following of Prabhupada? You don't want to be empowered by Prabhupada. You want to be endorsed or stamped so that you can go around in the name of the great saintly person and become yourself, get your different objectives satisfied. But I'm coming from Krishna's devotee." But to actually represent Krishna's devotee, you have to follow his instructions. Live in the society of devotees. And help correct, if there are wrongs, help correct the wrongs, starting by correcting your own wrongs. And then by working together, we can purify whatever anarthas are there, and we can develop our programs. Our movement is still young, 15, 20 years, not even 20 years old. So we may be experiencing difficulties. But part of it is our youth. We're just starting a gurukul. We don't even have a secondary school. But in a sense, it's not so unusual. We never thought of it because we didn't have any children secondary school age. Those are just examples of how young the movement is. Someone asked Prabhupada, he said, "What about the dead?" He said, "How do you deal with the dead? How do you bury them or cremate?" And Prabhupada said, "No one has died yet." So, why find fault just because we haven't worked out everything and we are still trying to see what is a genuine devotee and what is not a genuine devotee? So you're going to run away right away and start another movement. Help start this one. But if you do run away, then you'll, Zushik says, you'll run away from Prabhupada. And that is a mistake. All right, all glories to Prabhupada.